Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's real simple. If you're having computer problems, hardware, software, whatever, this is the show for you. We have Doug Swindhart on board today, and here's the number. It's easy to get through on the program, and we invite you to do it early. It's the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Doug, always good to visit with you. I hope you had a good week.
Yeah, it's been busy. And yeah, the news, it's amazing. Microsoft is laying off 10,000 employees worldwide, and Google is going to be laying off 12,000. And the big deal between Microsoft and Activision is teetering. It's supposed to be the biggest deal in the gaming industry. We don't know what's going to happen there, but a lot of people standing up, and the FTC is holding their hand up and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. And NVIDIA's involved, and Sony's involved, and I think the next month or so is going to be real interesting.
Yeah, and Activision, a huge gamer, I think the deal is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 or $70 billion. And these tech companies have a lot of cash. They did very well during the pandemic. More people working from home, kids doing remote learning, etc. They added a lot of staff, and now they feel like a couple of things going on, and I followed these stories, is that there is concern about a recession, and there's concern that they probably overhired, that, you know, they probably have too much staff now at the moment. So very interesting what's going on in the tech sector. We'll see what impact that has over the broader economy. But it does bring up a good point about tech and our reliance on tech. It really now is to the point where it touches every bit of our lives, that, you know, there isn't anything that in some way, shape, or form isn't tied to the internet, isn't tied to the World Wide Web. It is really extraordinary how we went from once upon a time, you know, okay, maybe you had dial-up, maybe you got email, and now everything. You can't buy fuel. You can't do a financial transaction. Places will still take cash, but I remember paying for an item with cash, and they kind of looked at me, well, what's that?
Yeah,
we haven't seen that in a while.
It's absolutely amazing. In less than a decade, we just slid right out of the industrial age right into the digital age, didn't we?
Yeah.
Less than a decade. Just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, and it is interesting because, you know, cash, in once upon a time, you know, people would write checks or cash. It is, honestly, very rarely to go into a store and go through a checkout line and see anybody pay with cash for anything, whether it's a debit card or a credit card.
Right, it just doesn't make any sense anymore. I mean, even if I do work for somebody and they hand me a check, I take a picture of it with my phone, and I got a deposit, I throw it in the garbage. We're quickly becoming a paperless society. The legal field now is almost entirely virtual. And still, there's a lot of lawyers that like the paper, of course. But it's, we're becoming paperless, almost. It's quite unique indeed. I felt the same way.
Yeah. We, of course, want to get to your phone calls and text right away on the program. And we'll remind you again, City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line is available, 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with our producer, Josh Wheeler. He'll put you through. If you text, that comes right into the studio to us. And we got another early bird on the program today. There's a lot of buzz right there about the latest and greatest phones. It seems like iPhone is rolling out a new phone every 6 to 9 months. I just upgraded a while ago and got a 13, and now I've already been left in the dust. The 14 is out. Samsung's got a Galaxy. Flip phones are on the comeback. This technology is constantly on the move, but that trend of some people saying, yeah, you know, I only need a flip phone. I know more. I have a cousin. who works in the tech sector, and he said, I got sick of my smartphone. If people at work need to reach me, they can call me. A flip phone is pretty much all I need. And he went back in time to the good old flip phone. Sure, he can send a text or whatever. He said, I don't need to see my email 24/7.
No, we're going to be seeing a lot of these called not-so-smartphones. But you don't want to get too carried away. Several people have jumped into this arena, and all of a sudden they realize, well, I was using that when I was paying for my gas. I was using the phone instead of my credit card if I didn't carry my wallet. And, well, some of these things are going to be gone, so they got to use caution. There's going to be a whole array of different services that you can pick up with individual phones. I'm having the same problem, too. It's just... I think that I hate to call it planned obsolescence, but a lot of it seems to be. I don't know how self-sustainable it is. If these companies want you to buy expensive phones, some of us want them to last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And that's not a good trend at this point. If they can cut off your phone by the operating system or the firmware, so you are forced to buy a new phone so you can stay connected, that's not a good thing either. And it's a complex problem. It really is. I'm looking at a Pixel that I'm probably going to pick up and jump on Google Fi. They seem to have just a tremendous plan. It's no contract, and it's like $18 a month for one account, but it's very limited, very limited. And that would be probably as non-smart a phone as I would be interested in. I'm having the same struggles.
Yeah, it just has become to the point where, and we have talked about that on the show in the past, this expectation that work should be able to reach you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you should be in touch with your emails. And the point being is, and we had a chat about this over the holidays with my cousin. Once again, ever since graduating from college, he's worked in the tech sector, works for a big company in town, and has been in their IT department for a long time, and is a developer and a programmer, and has really an impressive career on his resume. But he said it just got to the point where I do this all day, and if I need to reach my sister or I need to reach a friend or whatever, I can do it on my phone or from this device, I can send a text. He said, I've had it with all the apps, I've had it with all of this stuff, and this is a guy in the business. It's kind of like, I just decided to go back to what the phone was intended for. Now, for me, the biggest feature on my phone, I like to take certain photographs, particularly outdoor photography, pictures of nature and landscapes and those sorts of things. The camera's pretty good for that, and it's handy and it's in my pocket. But I know what he's saying, and I'm just wondering if some of this stuff has gotten to the point where, do we really need all of this? Do we really need this stuff?
No, we don't. And in fact, I think if people start to analyze just texting, and texting has its place, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Like your relatives that, well, I'm going to text them, and now we'll talk on the phone. See, I agree with that. I can believe that most people don't realize how much time it takes to text. That a quick phone call, they'd have been done in 5 minutes. But the texting thing, because you're sitting there typing with your thumbs and whatnot and correcting and getting, have the phone autocorrect, which it doesn't always do right. And it's very time consuming. And the part of that bothers me is the English language is a beautiful thing. And we are, with texting, we're butchering it. With all of this, it just bothers me. And I feel kind of like a crabby old man when I talk about this, but it bothers me. I don't know if you realize this, but if you call CenturyLink at least a couple weeks ago, and you tell them you want a landline put in, you got a 90-day wait.
No.
Have you heard of such a thing?
No.
I just blew my mind. I was thinking about getting a landline and having just basic smartphone where I'm out. But the thing, too, is to keep in mind that I don't think we need to have our computers and our smart devices all checking our email every 3 minutes. This is adding a tremendous amount of traffic to the Internet. If you have a check-in once an hour, should be great plenty. If you know you're receiving an email, you can always go in and tell it to renew or refresh, and you got it coming in. But so many people have their email set up for like 3 minutes. It's like, oh, my goodness. It's and when you think about just the United States with 550 million people, every 3 minutes, if their email is being refreshed and checked, even if there's nothing there, it's a tremendous amount of extra traffic that's unneeded.
All right, Doug, quick break. We'll come back. We'll get started on our text line. Let's put those numbers out there again. Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. That's good for a call or a text. And we'll be back and jump into a very busy text line in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart is our guest. My name is Steve Thompson. Josh Wheeler is our producer. The City's One Plumbing Talk and text line is open. Feel free to get a hold of us. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We'll be taking next Saturday off. We'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field starting at 11 a.m. Chad Hartman on from 11 to 1. And then from 1 to 3, Henry Lake. At 3, it'll be J.D., Jason DeRosa, and then Vanita Sarkar from Target Field between 4 and 5. And then I'll be back at 5, count you down to a Timberwolves game on Saturday night. But I will be live from Twins Fest next Saturday, so Tech Talk will return in 2 weeks. All right, let's get started right at the top, Doug, and go back to one we got earlier in the program. This gets into smartphones. The Samsung Galaxy with the folding screen, etc. What have you heard about that? What do you think about that, Doug?
Well, personally, I think they're overpriced, and they're still relatively new. When they first came out, you know, they were having trouble with that screen staying intact. And then the name of that company, Hui, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. They perfected it, apparently, and they're not the big seller that they expected either. So I haven't heard a whole lot. I've yet to have my hands on one, so I really can't make a whole lot of statements about them. I would be afraid of them. If you want a flip phone, get a flip phone. I just don't think that that's quite ready for prime time. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Samsung is pushing them, though. They're pushing them big. They think that one day you're going to have four folds and open this thing up into like a 14-inch laptop, and it's just going to fit in your pocket when you fold it up. That's apparently their goal. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Seems out of character.
And I think that Chinese firm, it's Huawei.
That's it.
What I've heard. Tech giant, there's a lot of concerns about security among some governments around the world about Huawei technology. Let's also go to the text line again. Here's a pretty good one. Malware bites. Number one, it looks like someone needs some help with the reinstall. With some of these antivirus programs, can it be necessary if you're having issues to do a complete, and that's true with any program, a complete uninstall of a particular program?
Yes, and if they've installed it and they start getting erratic behavior, it's highly likely that there was an antivirus that was put in by the manufacturer of the computer or phone, if you will, or whatever the device is, that's in the background. There is a program you can download for free. It's an antivirus removal tool. And just go online and download it, and it'll scan your computer. And I would use that to actually uninstall it, even if you're even your paid version. But just make sure you can reactivate it. And Malwarebytes, by the way, will help you with any of that. If you went online, which you should have done after you signed up for Malwarebytes, go online to malwarebytes.com and create an account on their website. And that's going to be a godsend in the future as well. And it's free. It doesn't cost any more to have that. But then they've got all the information as to who you are and what machine you put it on, how many times you've got a license, if you've got a 5-pack or a 3-pack. And they'll walk you right through that. But I think that these folks that have trouble probably had something running in the background that it just eventually they start to collide. And this antivirus removal tool is just a tremendous, tremendous tool.
Yeah. And one thing about Malwarebytes and other antivirus is tech support? What's the story? Because someone said they tried to get a hold of Malwarebytes on the phone. It didn't work out.
Oh, that's unusual. That's very unusual. The longest I've ever had to wait for tech support from Malwarebytes is about a half an hour. And they've always been known to be really good at that. I can't explain that. That's strange thing. Especially if they're a licensed user. That's very unusual. They must have had some kind of a peak thing going on. But and they would not like to hear them people say that. They're all about customer service. That's one of their big claims of fame, which it should be.
All right.
That surprises me.
Beyond Malwarebytes, what other programs do you recommend for virus protection?
Well, ESET, ENOD32 by ESET, ESET is a great company. Avira, German company, great company. There's all kinds of products out there that are available to take care of you on that. These are my three main ones would probably be Malwarebytes, ENOD32 by ESET, and Avira, A-V-I-R-A. They're just top shelf.
All right. Those are good. And is it necessary on the latest and greatest Windows operating systems?
Well, here again, I'm gonna say that if you've got the pro version, you're probably okay to use Windows Defender, at least for the first year or so. But then after that, you're going to want to go shopping. If you've got a home version or a retail version, you want to get it right away. You really do. And Windows Defender will continue to run in the background just in case something happens. And it seems to run okay and it doesn't collide like normal. But they're down in the operating system level. They're way lower than even what most antiviruses can get to. But I think if you got the pro version, you're going to be okay till your computer's about a year old, but then you're going to want to step up to the plate and buy a retail antivirus and malware protection as well.
Doug, here's a good one before the break, and this is from our text line, the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And that is the finish on a screen on a particular laptop, or for that matter, even any monitor. Some of the screens have, you know, a glossier finish. Like to my right here, I have a relatively new iMac, and it's got what appears to be a glass screen that's pretty shiny. But these Chromebooks, which are a lot less expensive, have more of a matte finish on the screen, and it's not nearly as glossy. Now, if I had to choose which monitor I prefer, it would obviously be the iMac over the relatively inexpensive HP Chromebook monitor. But I have two in front of me right now, so I know what the texter is saying. It's kind of a preference thing. It gets back to keyboards, monitor size, etc. And they are available in these different finishes.
This has gotten to be a real huge issue when people buy a monitor, a display. Do I want a matte screen or do I want a glossy? And what you see right in front of you now, that's actually twofold that you're looking at. That Mac has got an incredible resolution rate.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
if you ever put your desk on the other side of the wall, so you've got the sun shining behind you on that screen, it will just glare like there's no tomorrow, where a matte screen will actually deflect that glare. So it really is personal preference. Now, we got Nancy a new Acer, which has a matte screen, a matte, and it's just gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. It really is preference, and it really is your environment, where you're going to put it, how you're going to be set up, that's going to make the difference. I don't think we're ever going to see a Mac with a matte screen. I just don't think. So they're going for the clarity of picture, and if that's what you're looking for, you're going to have a glossy screen. But like in my office now, even off to the side of the window, the glares just drive me crazy. I'm continuously pulling down my curtains, my drapes. So it's it really is, but you can get both and be aware of what you're buying before you buy them too. I'm big on that. I'm not so high on the curved monitors either. I just can't seem to quite get used to them. I don't care for them. I just want a flat screen.
Yeah, it is a personal preference thing, and I think it also gets back to another thing. You know, shop online, maybe get your deal online, but there's nothing like seeing something in person, getting a feel for it. And with keyboards, laptops, computers in general, monitors in particular, I think you want to see it in action. And that's why, you know, wherever you shop, wherever that is, get out and take a look at some of this equipment.
I think that retail is going to make a comeback just because of that. I don't know if it will ever get to be what it was 10, 15 years ago, but it is making a comeback. I hear this all the time. You can't buy shoes online. You can't buy clothes online. Certainly can't buy furniture online. And that's all true. Just like what you're saying now with computer equipment. It's always nice to have the nice deal. But, you know, if we have to pay a little bit more to keep the retail people in business, for goodness sake, I'm all for that as well. It's a very, very convenient thing to go in and sit down and look at something and play with it and really get a feel for what you're buying. Much less buyer's remorse if you know what you're buying beforehand.
Yeah, take it for a spin, get a feel for it. And the same way with me about keyboards, particularly on a laptop. That's why I've stuck with when I've needed a Chromebook, I've stuck with HPs. I got comfortable. I like the keyboard. It's usable, and that's a big part of the experience. Quick break. We'll have the weather. Much more coming up here on Tech Talk. The number again, 651-461-9226. It is the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line here on News Talk. E3O WCCO. 2:38, 22 minutes down in front of 3 o'clock. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindart joining us on the program. As always, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today. And, Doug, there must have been a change with Malware Bytes because we got a text from a caller that said now that they're only able to get tech support by email. There's no phone number available. They checked it out and said tech support by email, but not by phone anymore at Malware.
Sign of the times.
Yeah.
Not a good signal. I think that's a mistake when they do that, but sign of the times. That's good. That's good information. We should thank that texter, that caller that let us know that.
Yeah, for sure. And during the break, I looked it up, didn't see any phone numbers anymore. And,
oh, that's bad.
I know it kind of gets back to one thing. Whether you go to a drive-through and it's a little slower than normal, labor, getting labor in call centers, probably not the easiest thing, especially knowledgeable phone support. So, yeah, it's one of those where difficult to get people on the phone. You're generally pushed in a lot of circumstances to send an email or get involved in some sort of chat online versus talking to someone on the phone anymore, for sure. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Josh said that we have Tom waiting. Tom, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Steve. Hello, Doug. Question for you about purchasing a new laptop. I am maybe going to make the leap into a Mac from a PC, a MacBook. Mm-hmm. Generally, what my question is if I do go with a Mac, does that come with a free GarageBand download? I'm looking for a recording program, multi-track recording program for audio. And the second question would be, if I stick with a PC, are there brands that you recommend, Doug? And that's all. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for the show, my good gentleman.
All right, thanks, Tom. Good call.
I am actually not sure if GarageBand comes with that free or not.
I'm
on a quick search here to make.
I got GarageBand on my iMac, so it is available.
I think it is free, but yeah, I believe it is. But there's lots of things for like doing music. In fact, Audacity is probably the big one, and that's cross-platform, run on Windows, Mac, Linux, run on anything.
Yeah, Adobe Audition is a good one as well.
Absolutely, that's with Upscale from Audacity. They're all really good.
Yeah.
As far as my recommendation for a computer, you're looking at a Mac. You're looking at top of the line, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're going to look at something else, I would highly suggest that you take a peek at HP in the business line. And you're going to pay a little bit more for the business line, but they come with a 3-year warranty, and they come with what's called Wolf Security. And that's the best you can buy it, but it has to be an HP. That will protect your computer down to the bare metal. So in other words, it actually includes the firmware and your BIOS chips as well. That would be my recommendation. And just go on HP and check on the business line, and they got a full line of desktops, laptops, netbooks, the whole nine yards. But you're going to come out just fine. If I can help you in the future, feel free to give me a call.
Yeah, and if you're really serious about audio, recording, editing software, Adobe Audition is really hard to beat. I have it here at home. I know it's in the studios. down at CCO. It's kind of a standard, if you will. There are others out there, but it's easy to use, easy to learn, multi-track, the whole thing. I think you'd be pretty happy with Adobe Audition, and it's relatively reasonable. You're going to pay for it. You're not going to get it for free, but I think you pay a little bit. You'd be pretty happy with Adobe Audition.
Oh, no question. Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, it is a good one. And good thing is, whether you choose a Mac or a Windows machine, you'll be in good shape on that. Doug, but it does bring up a conversation, and I think it's worth spending a little bit more time on it anyway. In general, Mac products, it's beautiful hardware. The software has been pretty good. It's not been as prone to malware, if you will. There are advantages, but you will pay. You're not going to get a lot of deals on Mac equipment.
Probably not. No, it's that's a fact for sure. And I foresee, too, that people need to understand that the Mac OS, the original OS X, was built on FreeBSD. It's really as impenetrable as Linux and Unix.
Yep.
There's really no need for antivirus or malware on a Mac if you're a good user. Now, if you're opening up every attachment that comes in, then you can open up the floodgates. But you're right. They don't need the protection that a PC is required to have. It is just the nature of the beast. But Macs are, well, they're a little bit more delicate than I think people realize. And if you go to have them repaired, you're going to be chained to proprietary equipment more than the others. But they all attempt to do this. But they are gorgeous equipment. It's just lovely equipment. I can't say about the design. And they're just lovely equipment. I like Mac a lot. Always have.
Yeah, here's a good one from our text line. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about pairing a smartwatch and other equipment. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to say thank you, because the one thing you and I agreed on was, if you're going to get an Apple Watch, you probably want an iPhone and maybe even on top of it a MacBook to work with it. And flip side, if you're going to get some sort of other watch or an Android, you'd probably want to pair it with an Android phone. I mean, it just seems to be more seamless.
And, oh, yeah. The coordinating is going to be so much easier with similar operating systems. Yeah, it could be done. But I don't even think it's going to be considered stable on a long-term basis. And Nancy, my wife, made that transition to Apple Mac. And she kind of had it planned out. Well, I'll get an Apple iPhone first. And it was like 6 months later, she picked up a tablet. And then about 6 months after that, she got a watch. She's just happier than a clam. Everything just runs and connects and turn it on. Not to worry about updates. Not to worry about backing up, because everything's synchronized to her iCloud. She's a happy, happy girl. So there's no arguing with what they produce. But there's a learning curve. She's had to make the transition from PCs to Mac. But I don't think she took very long to do that. A couple weeks, maybe, if that. There's no struggle to it.
Yeah, and this happened to be Samsung equipment, and they seem to be happy. Samsung smartphone, Samsung watch work together well. And it just my sense that mixing operating systems and equipment when it comes to a watch and other devices may cause more problems than it's worth.
14
minutes.
Doubt.
Yeah, 14 minutes down in front of 3. Quick break. We'll come back with much more here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Tech Talk with Doug. We'll have the week off next week. We'll have coverage of Twins Fest live from Target Field between 11 and 5 next Saturday afternoon. Once again, Doug joining us. We'll have Doug's phone number and email here at the end of the program. We got a text from a recording engineer. We'll put it out there. They said, I don't agree with your assessment on Adobe Audition. For a user like your caller, GarageBand is going to have much more functionality. And if you're serious about recording, either Logic Pro or Pro Tools would be the way to go. My wife used Pro Tools for a long, long time. speaking from personal experience, I'm just a fan of Adobe Audition. But when I edit and I do stuff, I'm dealing strictly with spoken word. So we should clarify that. If you're getting into music and so on and so forth, and my wife was doing editing in Pro Tools that involved music as well, she got very familiar. In my experience, though, with spoken word, I've had good luck with Adobe Audition.
There is a plethora of software out there. And generally speaking, when people get really serious about this, it really does take a full office configuration. Whatever equipment they're going to be connecting to their computer, they're going to have recommendations for software as well. So it's really important to coordinate this thing from start to finish. And that's where getting involved with somebody that is a configuration specialist can really pay off, because they'll help you to pick the right equipment or the equipment that you have zoned in on for mixers and mics and all that, and then tying it together with the correct machine. May even dictate whether you have a PC or a Mac. It really depends on the external equipment. You know what I'm talking about, Steve? Keyboards, and the products are endless out there, just endless.
Well, and then beyond that, I think when you're recording, and I think the recording engineer, good quality mics as well. If you're going to get into that sort of stuff,
no doubt.
You know, the quality of the microphone, generally get what you pay for on that. And then the acoustics of the room. So often you'll hear a podcast or some other sort of thing where the room is way too loud, or too dead on the other side. You know, finding balance in the recording space as well is important. It might be fun to get this recording engineer on the phone and talk about that, because a lot of people are dabbling in that and doing their own podcasts, etc. But in my experience, good mic, and then listening to the environment you're in. If it's too loud, or you can make the space too dead as well. Let's get back to the text here real quickly before we run out of time. Is a factory refurbished HP desktop a risk? Is there anything to worry about in factory refurbs, whether it's an HP or another brand?
Well, I can only speak from my experience, and my experience has been really positive. I have done really well with refurbs, really, really well. I think if you've got an HP that HP has refurbished, you've got a good piece of equipment. Here's the thing. Keep in mind, this is such a competitive industry. They are so tight on dollars that if they bring that thing back into the factory to repair it, they don't want to see it back again. It really is. That kind of has a lot to do with it. So, but I've had just tremendous luck with refurbs. In fact, when I go on Amazon now, I go right into their renewed department and look first. If they've got something decent, you're going to save a lot of money that way. No question about it. Just make sure you got the warranty that you need, and you can move forward with peace of mind.
Yeah, and generally, with Apple refurbs that we've bought over the years, tremendous luck. And with Apple Care, et cetera, tacked onto it, really hard to beat. So if you're truly buying factory refurbs, you're in pretty good shape direct from the manufacturer.
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt.
Yeah, and you can save a few bucks on top of it as well. Here's one. I recently had high-speed fiber installed and have an older laptop that's really not capable of taking advantage of it. Would a newer Chromebook be able to take advantage of those higher speeds?
Chances are it would. Now, with your older laptop, by the way, you can get an extender and plug that thing in with the Ethernet if it's got an Ethernet, and the extender will make the jump. Probably, you're probably looking at the difference between Wi-Fi 5 and Wi-Fi 6, or a different section, a different protocol, 802.11. And just make sure that your router that you have is capable of multiple protocols. So if you've got a slower machine, you're not slowing down your entire network so it connects. That's doable. That's probably a little bit more specific than we should get into on the radio, but have them give me a call. I'll walk them through it.
Yeah.
Just guide them to the right in place where they can learn about it.
Yeah, and Doug, we're getting very tight on time on the program today. Once again, a reminder, if you enjoy the program, we will be back in 2 weeks next week. We'll have coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field between 11 and 5. Chad Hartman, Henry Lake, Jason Durage, Havanita Sarkar will be out there representing CCO Radio next Saturday between 11 and 5. Should be a lot of fun. Doug, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. Number again, 651-552-9543. Steve, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, very good, Doug. Take care. There he is. It's Doug Swindenhart, and it is Tech Talk. Saturdays between 2 and 3 o'clock, sports schedules permitting, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. We have all the news and weather coming up at 3, and then we've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon. We generally, between 3 and 3:30, you'll talk a wide range of topics, but lately it's been space. And one of my favorite space journalists will join us, Stephen Clark from spaceflightnow.com. And then we'll get started on a very busy sports Saturday, football, Twins, etc. Tech Talk is underway on this Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. It's real simple. If you're having computer problems, hardware, software, whatever, this is the show for you. We have Doug Swindenhart on board today, and here's the number. It's easy to get through on the program, and we invite you to do it early. It's the City's One Plumbing Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, always good to visit with you. I hope you had a good week.
Yeah, it's been busy. And yeah, the news, it's amazing. Microsoft is laying off 10,000 employees worldwide, and Google is going to be laying off 12,000. And the big deal between Microsoft and Activision is teetering. It's supposed to be the biggest deal in the gaming industry. We don't know what's going to happen there, but a lot of people standing up, and the FTC is holding their hand up and saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. And NVIDIA's involved, and Sony's involved, and I think the next month or so is going to be real interesting.
Yeah, and Activision, a huge gamer, I think the deal is somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 or $70 billion. And these tech companies have a lot of cash. They did very well during the pandemic. More people working from home, kids doing remote learning, etc. They added a lot of staff, and now they feel like, couple of things going on, and I followed these stories, is that there is concern about a recession, and there's concern that they probably overhired, that, you know, they probably have too much staff now at the moment. So very interesting what's going on in the tech sector. We'll see what impact that has over the broader economy. But it does bring up a good point about tech and our reliance on tech. It really now is to the point where it touches every bit of our lives, that, you know, there isn't anything that in some way, shape, or form isn't tied to the internet, isn't tied to the World Wide Web. It is really extraordinary how we went from once upon a time, you know, okay, maybe you had dial up, maybe you got email, and now everything. You can't buy fuel. You can't do a financial transaction. Places will still take cash, but I remember paying for an item with cash. They kind of looked at me, well, what's that?
Yeah.
We haven't seen that in a while.
It's absolutely amazing. In less than a decade, we just slid right out of the industrial age right into the digital age, didn't we?
Yeah.
Less than a decade. Just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, and it is interesting because, you know, cash, in once upon a time, you know, people would write checks or cash. It is, honestly, very rarely to go into a store and go through a checkout line and see anybody pay with cash for anything, whether it's a debit card or a credit card.
Right, just doesn't make any sense anymore. I mean, even if I do work for somebody and they hand me a check, I take a picture of it with my phone, and I got a deposit, I throw it in the garbage. We're quickly becoming a paperless society. The legal field now is almost entirely virtual. And still, there's a lot of lawyers that like the paper, of course. But it's, we're becoming paperless, almost. It's quite unique indeed. I felt the same way.
Yeah. we, of course, want to get to your phone calls and text right away on the program, and we'll remind you again, Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line is available, 651-461-9226. If you call the studio, you'll visit with our producer, Josh Wheeler. He'll put you through. If you text, that comes right into the studio to us. And we got another early bird on the program today. There's a lot of buzz right there about the latest and greatest phones. It seems like iPhone is rolling out a new phone every 6 to 9 months. I just upgraded a while ago and got a 13, and now I've already been left in the dust. The 14 is out. Samsung's got a Galaxy. Flip phones are on the comeback. This technology is constantly on the move, but that trend of some people saying, yeah, you know, I only need a flip phone. I know more. I have a cousin who works in the tech sector, and he said, I got sick of my smartphone. If people at work need to reach me, they can call me. A flip phone is pretty much all I need. And he went back in time to the good old flip phone. Sure,
oh,
he can send a text or whatever. He said, I don't need to see my email 24/7.
No, we're going to be seeing a lot of these called not-so-smartphones. But you don't want to get too carried away. Several people have jumped into this arena, and all of a sudden they realize, well, I was using that when I was paying for my gas. I was using the phone instead of my credit card, but I didn't carry my wallet. And, well, some of these things are going to be gone, so they got to use caution. There's going to be a whole array of different services that you can pick up with individual phones. I'm having the same problem, too. It's just, I think that this, I hate to call it planned obsolescence, but a lot of it seems to be. I don't know how self-sustainable it is. If these companies want you to buy expensive phones, some of us want them to last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And that's not a good trend at this point. If they can cut off your phone by the operating system or the firmware, so you are forced to buy a new phone so you can stay connected, that's not a good thing either. And it's a complex problem. It really is. I'm looking at a Pixel that I'm probably going to pick up and jump on Google Fi. They seem to have just a tremendous plan. It's no contract, and it's like $18 a month for one account, but it's very limited, very limited. And that would be probably as non-smart a phone as I would be interested in. I'm having the same struggles.
Yeah, it just has become to the point where and we have talked about that on the show in the past, this expectation that work should be able to reach you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you should be in touch with your emails. And the point being is, and we had a chat about this over the holidays with my cousin. Once again, ever since graduating from college, he's worked in the tech sector, works for a big company in town, and has been in their IT department for a long time, and is a developer and a programmer, and has really an impressive career on his resume. But he said it just got to the point where I do this all day, and if I need to reach my sister or I need to reach a friend or whatever, I can do it on my phone or from this device, I can send a text. He said, I've had it with all the apps, I've had it with all of this stuff, and this is a guy in the business. It's kind of like, I just decided to go back to what the phone was intended for. Now, for me, the biggest feature on my phone, I like to take certain photographs, particularly outdoor photography, pictures of nature and landscapes and those sorts of things. The camera's pretty good for that, and it's handy, and it's in my pocket. But I know what he's saying, and I'm just wondering if some of this stuff has gotten to the point where, do we really need all of this? Do we stuff?
No, we don't. And in fact, I think if people start to analyze just texting, and texting has its place, don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Like your relatives, that, well, I'm going to text them, and now we'll talk on the phone. See, I agree with that. I can believe that most people don't realize how much time it takes to text. That a quick phone call, they'd have been done in 5 minutes. But the texting thing, because you're sitting here typing with your thumbs and whatnot and correcting and have the phone autocorrect, which it doesn't always do right. And it's very time consuming. And the part of that bothers me is the English language is a beautiful thing. And we are, with texting, we're butchering it with all of this. It just bothers me. I feel kind of like a crabby old man when I talk about this, but it bothers me. I don't know if you realize this, but if you call CenturyLink at least a couple weeks ago and you tell them you want a landline put in, you got a 90-day wait.
Wow.
Have you heard of such a thing?
No.
I just blew my mind. I was thinking about getting a landline and having just basic smartphone where I'm out. But the thing, too, is to keep in mind that I don't think we need to have our computers and our smart devices all checking our email every 3 minutes. This is adding a tremendous amount of traffic to the Internet. If you have it checking once an hour, should be great plenty. If you know you're receiving an email, you can always go in and tell it to renew or refresh, and you got it coming in. But so many people have their email set up for like 3 minutes. It's like, oh, my goodness. It's and when you think about just the United States with 550 million people, every 3 minutes, if their email is being refreshed and checked, even if there's nothing there, it's a tremendous amount of extra traffic that's unneeded.
All right, Doug, quick break. We'll come back. We'll get started on our text line. Let's put those numbers out there again. Cities One Plumbing Talk and text line 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. That's good for a call or a text. And we'll be back and jump into a very busy text line in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart is our guest. My name is Steve Thompson. Josh Wheeler is our producer. The City's One Plumbing Talk and text line is open. Feel free to get a hold of us. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. We'll be taking next Saturday off. We'll have live coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field starting at 11 a.m. Chad Hartman on from 11 to 1. And then from 1 to 3, Henry Lake. At 3, it'll be JD, Jason DeRosha, and then Vanita Sarkar from Target Field between 4 and 5. And then I'll be back at 5, count you down to a Timberwolves game on Saturday night. But I will be live from Twins Fest next Saturday, so Tech Talk will return in 2 weeks. All right, let's get started right at the top, Doug, and go back to one we got earlier in the program. This gets into smartphones. The Samsung Galaxy with the folding screen, etc. What have you heard about that? What do you think about that, Doug?
Well, personally, I think they're overpriced, and they're still relatively new. When they first came out, you know, they were having trouble with that screen staying intact. And then the name of that company, Hui, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly. They perfected it, apparently, and they're not the big seller that they expected either. So I haven't heard a whole lot. I've yet to have my hands on one, so I really can't make a whole lot of statements about them. I would be afraid of them. If you want a flip phone, get a flip phone. I just don't think that that's quite ready for prime time. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Samsung is pushing them, though. They're pushing them big. They think that one day you're going to have four folds and open this thing up into like a 14-inch laptop, and it's just going to fit in your pocket when you fold it up. That's apparently their goal. I believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Seems out of character.
And I think that Chinese firm, it's Huawei.
That's it.
What I've heard. Tech giant, there's a lot of concerns about security among some governments around the world about Huawei technology. Let's also go to the text line again. Here's a pretty good one. Malware bites. Number one, it looks like someone needs some help with the reinstall. With some of these antivirus programs, can it be necessary, if you're having issues, to do a complete, and that's true with any program, a complete uninstall of a particular program?
Yes, and if they've installed it and they start getting erratic behavior, it's highly likely that there was an antivirus that was put in by the manufacturer of the computer or phone, if you will, or whatever the device is, that's in the background. There is a program you can download for free. It's an antivirus removal tool. And just go online and download it, and it'll scan your computer. And I would use that to actually uninstall it, even if you're even your paid version. But just make sure you can reactivate it. And Malwarebytes, by the way, will help you with any of that. If you went online, which you should have done after you signed up for Malwarebytes, go online to malwarebytes.com and create an account on their website. And that's going to be a godsend in the future as well. And it's free. It doesn't cost any more to have that. But then they've got all the information as to who you are and what machine you put it on, how many times you got a license, if you got a 5-pack or a 3-pack. And they'll walk you right through that. But I think that these folks that have trouble probably had something running in the background that it just eventually they start to collide. And this antivirus removal tool is just a tremendous, tremendous tool.
Yeah. And one thing about Malwarebytes and other antivirus is tech support. What's the story? Because someone said they tried to get a hold of Malwarebytes on the phone. It didn't work out.
Oh, that's unusual. That's very unusual. The longest I've ever had to wait for tech support from Malwarebytes is about a half an hour. And they've always been known to be really good at that. I can't explain that. That's a strange thing. Especially if they're a licensed user. That's very unusual. They must have had some kind of a peak thing going on. But and they would not like to hear them people say that. They're all about customer service. That's one of their big claims to fame, which it should be.
All right.
That surprises me.
Beyond Malwarebytes, what other programs do you recommend for virus protection?
Well, ESET, ENOD32 by ESET. ESET is a great company. Avira, German company, great company. There's all kinds of products out there that are available to take care of you on that. These are my three main ones would probably be Malwarebytes, ENOD32 by ESET, and Avira, A-V-I-R-A. They're just top shelf.
All right. Those are good. And is it necessary on the latest and greatest Windows operating systems?
Well, here again, I'm gonna say that if you've got the pro version, you're probably okay to use Windows Defender, at least for the first year or so. But then after that, you're going to want to go shopping. If you've got a home version or a retail version, you want to get it right away. You really do. And Windows Defender will continue to run in the background just in case something happens. And it seems to run okay and it doesn't collide like normal. But they're down in the operating system level. They're way lower than even what most antiviruses can get to. But I think if you got the pro version, you're going to be okay till your computer's about a year old, but then you're going to want to step up to the plate and buy a retail antivirus and malware protection as well.
Doug, here's a good one before the break, and this is from our text line, the City's One Plumbing Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And that is the finish on a screen on a particular laptop, or for that matter, even any monitor. Some of the screens have, you know, a glossier finish. Like to my right here, I have a relatively new iMac, and it's got what appears to be a glass screen that's pretty shiny. But these Chromebooks, which are a lot less expensive, have more of a matte finish on the screen, and it's not nearly as glossy. Now, if I had to choose which monitor I prefer, it would obviously be the iMac over the relatively inexpensive HP Chromebook monitor. But I have two in front of me right now, so I know what the texter is saying. It's kind of a preference thing. It gets back to keyboards, monitor size, etc. And they are available in these different finishes.
This has gotten to be a real huge issue when people buy a monitor or a display. Do I want a matte screen or do I want a glossy? And what you see right in front of you now, that's actually twofold that you're looking at. That Mac has got an incredible resolution rate.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
if you ever put your desk on the other side of the wall, so you've got the sun shining behind you on that screen, it will just glare like there's no tomorrow, where a matte screen will actually deflect that glare. So it really is personal preference. Now, we got Nancy a new Acer, which has a matte screen, and it's just gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. It really is preference, and it really is your environment, where you're going to put it, how you're going to be set up, that's going to make the difference. I don't think we're ever going to see a Mac with a matte screen. I just don't think. So they're going for the clarity of picture, and if that's what you're looking for, yeah, you're going to have a glossy screen. But like in my office now, even off to the side of the window, the glares just drive me crazy. I'm continuously pulling down my curtains, my drapes. So it's it really is, but you can get both and be aware of what you're buying before you buy them too. I'm big on that. I'm not so high on the curved monitors either. I just can't seem to quite get used to them. I don't care for them. I just want a flat screen.
Yeah, it is a personal preference thing, and I think it also gets back to another thing. You know, shop online, maybe get your deal online, but there's nothing like seeing something in person, getting a feel for it. And with keyboards, laptops, computers in general, monitors in particular, I think you want to see it in action. And that's why, you know, wherever you shop, wherever that is, get out and take a look at some of this equipment.
I think that retail is going to make a comeback just because of that. I don't know if it will ever get to be what it was 10, 15 years ago, but it is making a comeback. I hear this all the time. You can't buy shoes online. You can't buy clothes online. Certainly can't buy furniture online. And that's all true. Just like what you're saying now with computer equipment, it's always nice to have the nice deal. But, you know, if we have to pay a little bit more to keep the retail people in business, for goodness sake, I'm all for that as well. It's a very, very convenient thing to go in and sit down and look at something and play with it and really get a feel for what you're buying. Much less buyer's remorse if you know what you're buying beforehand.
Yeah, take it for a spin, get a feel for it. The same way with me about keyboards, particularly on a laptop. That's why I've stuck with, when I've needed a Chromebook, I've stuck with HPs. I got comfortable. I like the keyboard. It's usable, and that's a big part of the experience. Quick break. We'll have the weather. Much more coming up here on Tech Talk. The number again, 651-461-9226. It is the city's one plumbing talk and text line here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. 2:38, 22 minutes down in front of 3 o'clock. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart joining us on the program. As always, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program today. And, Doug, there must have been a change with Malware Bytes because we got a text from a caller that said now that they're only able to get tech support by email. There's no phone number available. They checked it out and said tech support by email, but not by phone anymore at Malware.
Sign of the times.
Yeah.
Not a good signal. I think that's a mistake when they do that, but sign of the times. That's good information. We should thank that texter, that caller that let us know that.
Yeah, for sure. And during the break, I looked it up, didn't see any phone numbers anymore. And,
that's bad.
I know it kind of gets back to one thing. Whether you go to a drive-through and it's a little slower than normal, labor, getting labor in call centers, probably not the easiest thing, especially knowledgeable phone support. So, yeah, it's one of those where difficult to get people on the phone. You're generally pushed in a lot of circumstances to send an email or get involved in some sort of chat online versus talking to someone on the phone anymore, for sure. All right, let's get to the phone lines. Josh said that we have Tom waiting. Tom, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah. Hello, Steve. Hello, Doug. Question for you about purchasing a new laptop. I am maybe going to make the leap into a Mac from a PC, a MacBook. Mm-hmm. Generally, what my question is if I do go with a Mac, does that come with a free GarageBand download? I'm looking for a recording program, multi-track recording program for audio. And the second question would be, if I stick with a PC, are there brands that you recommend, Doug? And that's all. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for the show, my good gentleman.
All right. Thanks, Tom. Good call.
I am actually not sure if GarageBand comes with that free or not. I'm going to run a quick search here to make.
I got GarageBand on my iMac, so it is available.
I think it is free, I believe it is. But there's lots of things for like doing music. In fact, Audacity is probably the big one, and that's cross-platform, run on Windows, Mac, Linux, run on anything.
Yeah, Adobe Audition is a good one as well.
Absolutely, that's with Upscale from Audacity. They're all really good.
Yeah.
As far as my recommendation for a computer, you're looking at a Mac. You're looking at top of the line, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're going to look at something else, I would highly suggest that you take a peek at HP in the business line. And you're going to pay a little bit more for the business line, but they come with a 3-year warranty, and they come with what's called Wolf Security. And that's the best you can buy it, but it has to be an HP. That will protect your computer down to the bare metal. So in other words, it actually includes the firmware and your BIOS chips as well. That would be my recommendation. And just go on HP and check on the business line, and they got a full line of desktops, laptops, netbooks, the whole nine yards. But you're going to come out just fine. If I can help you in the future, feel free to give me a call.
Yeah, and if you're really serious about audio, recording, editing software, Adobe Audition is really hard to beat. I have it here at home. I know it's in the studios down at CCO. It's kind of a standard, if you will. There are others out there, but it's easy to use, easy to learn, multi-track, the whole thing. I think you'd be pretty happy with Adobe Audition, and it's relatively reasonable. You're going to pay for it. You're not going to get it for free, but I think you pay a little bit. You'd be pretty happy with Adobe Audition.
Oh, no question. Absolutely. No question about it.
Yeah, it is a good one. And good thing is, whether you choose a Mac or a Windows machine, you'll be in good shape on that. Doug, but it does bring up a conversation, and I think it's worth spending a little bit more time on it anyway. In general, Mac products, it's beautiful hardware. The software has been pretty good. It's not been as prone to malware, if you will. There are advantages, but you will pay. You're not going to get a lot of deals on Mac equipment.
Probably not. No, it's that's a fact for sure. And I foresee, too, that people need to understand that the Mac OS, the original OS X, was built on FreeBSD. It's really as impenetrable as Linux and Unix.
Yep.
There's really no need for antivirus or malware on a Mac if you're a good user. Now, if you're opening up every attachment that comes in, then you can open up the floodgates. But you're right. They don't need the protection that a PC is required to have. It is just the nature of the beast. But Macs are, well, they're a little bit more delicate than I think people realize. And if you go to have them repaired, you're going to be chained to proprietary equipment more than the others. But they all attempt to do this. But they are gorgeous equipment. It's just lovely equipment. I can't about the design, and they're just lovely equipment. I like Mac a lot. Always have.
Yeah, here's a good one from our text line. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about pairing a smartwatch and other equipment, and they just wanted to say thank you, because the one thing you and I agreed on was if you're going to get an Apple Watch, you probably want an iPhone and maybe even on top of it a MacBook to work with it. And flip side, if you're going to get some sort of other watch or an Android, you'd probably want to pair it with an Android phone. I mean, it just seems to be more seamless.
The coordinating is going to be so much easier with similar operating systems. Yeah, it could be done, but I don't even think it's going to be considered stable on a long-term basis. And Nancy, my wife, made that transition to Apple Mac. And she kind of had it planned out. Well, I'll get an Apple iPhone first. And it was like 6 months later, she picked up a tablet. And then about 6 months after that, she got a watch. She's just happier than a clam. Everything just runs and connects. And turn it on, not have to worry about updates, not have to worry about backing up because everything's synchronized to her iCloud. She's a happy, happy girl. So there's no arguing with what they produce. But there's a learning curve. She's had to make the transition from PCs to Mac. But I don't think she took very long to do that. A couple weeks, maybe, if that. There's no struggle to it.
Yeah, and this happened to be Samsung equipment, and they seem to be happy. Samsung smartphone, Samsung watch work together well. And it just my sense that mixing operating systems and equipment when it comes to a watch and other devices may cause more problems than it's worth.
14
minutes.
Doubt.
Yeah, 14 minutes now in front of 3. Quick break. We'll come back with much more here on News Talk. 830 WCCO. Tech Talk with Doug. We'll have the week off next week. We'll have coverage of Twins Fest live from Target Field between 11 and 5 next Saturday afternoon. Once again, Doug joining us. We'll have Doug's phone number and email here at the end of the program. We got a text from a recording engineer. We'll put it out there. They said, I don't agree with your assessment on Adobe Audition. For a user like your caller, GarageBand is going to have much more functionality. And if you're serious about recording, either Logic Pro or Pro Tools would be the way to go. My wife used Pro Tools for a long, long time. Speaking from personal experience, I'm just a fan of Adobe Audition. But when I edit and I do stuff, I'm dealing strictly with spoken word. So we should clarify that. If you're getting into music and so on and so forth, and my wife was doing editing in Pro Tools that involved music as well, she got very familiar. In my experience, though, with spoken word, I've had good luck with Adobe Audition.
There is a plethora of software out there. And generally speaking, when people get really serious about this, it really does take a full office configuration. Whatever equipment they're going to be connecting to their computer, they're going to have recommendations for software as well. So it's really important to coordinate this thing from start to finish. And that's where getting involved with somebody that is a configuration specialist can really pay off, because they'll help you to pick the right equipment or the equipment that you have zoned in on for mixers and mics and all that, and then tying it together with the correct machine. It may even dictate whether you have a PC or a Mac. It really depends on the external equipment. You know what I'm talking about, Steve? Keyboards, and the products are endless out there, just endless.
Well, and then beyond that, I think when you're recording, and I think the recording engineer, good quality mics as well. If you're going to get into that sort of stuff,
no doubt.
You know, the quality of the microphone, you generally get what you pay for on that. And then the acoustics of the room. So often you'll hear a podcast or some other sort of thing where the room is way too loud, or too dead on the other side. You know, finding balance in the recording space as well is important. It might be fun to get this recording engineer on the phone and talk about that, because a lot of people are dabbling in that and doing their own podcasts, etc. But in my experience, good mic, and then listening to the environment you're in. If it's too loud, or you can make the space too dead as well. Let's get back to the text here real quickly before we run out of time. Is a factory refurbished HP desktop a risk? Is there anything to worry about in factory refurbs, whether it's an HP or another brand?
Well, I can only speak from my experience, and my experience has been really positive. I have done really well with refurbs, really, really well. I think if you've got an HP that HP has refurbished, you've got a good piece of equipment. Here's the thing. Keep in mind, this is such a competitive industry. They are so tight on dollars that if they bring that thing back into the factory to repair it, they don't want to see it back again. It really is. That kind of has a lot to do with it. But I've had just tremendous luck with refurbs. In fact, when I go on Amazon now, I go right into their renewed department and look first. If they've got something decent, you're going to save a lot of money that way. No question about it. Just make sure you got the warranty that you need, and you can move forward with peace of mind.
Yeah, and generally, with Apple refurbs that we've bought over the years, tremendous luck. And with Apple Care, et cetera, tacked onto it, really hard to beat. So if you're truly buying factory refurbs, you're in pretty good shape direct from the manufacturer.
No doubt. Absolutely, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah, and you can save a few bucks on top of it as well. Here's one. I recently had high-speed fiber installed and have an older laptop that's really not capable of taking advantage of it. Would a newer Chromebook be able to take advantage of those higher speeds?
Chances are it would. Now, with your older laptop, by the way, you can get an extender and plug that thing in with the Ethernet if it's got an Ethernet, and the extender will make the jump. Probably, you're probably looking at the difference between Wi-Fi 5 and Wi-Fi 6, or a different section, a different protocol, 802.11. And just make sure that your router that you have is capable of multiple protocols. So if you've got a slower machine, you're not slowing down your entire network so it connects. That's doable. That's probably a little bit more specific than we should get into on the radio, but have them give me a call. I'll walk them through it.
Yeah.
Just guide them to the right in place where they can learn about it.
Yeah, and Doug, we're getting very tight on time on the program today. Once again, a reminder, if you enjoy the program, we will be back in 2 weeks next week. We'll have coverage of Twins Fest from Target Field between 11 and 5. Chad Hartman to Henry Lake. Jason Duraj of Anita Sarkar will be out there representing CCO Radio next Saturday between 11 and 5. Should be a lot of fun. Doug, your phone number and email.
Thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, A-D-M-I-N, at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. Number again, 651-552-9543. Steve, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right, very good, Doug. Take care. There he is. It's Doug Swindehart, and it is Tech Talk. Saturdays between 2 and 3 o'clock, sports schedules permitting, here on News Talk 830-WCCO. We have all the news and weather coming up at 3, and then we've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon. We generally, between 3 and 3.30, you'll talk a wide range of topics, but lately it's been space. And one of my favorite space journalists will join us, Stephen Clark from spaceflightnow.com. And then we'll get started on a very busy sports Saturday, football, Twins, etc.